Well, it's good to be here this evening, and certainly good to see the audience that we have this evening. I want to welcome those that are here from other communities, other places around. We're glad that you're here. We want you to know that you're welcome here, and we appreciate the community visitors that are here with us today. We want you to feel comfortable here, and we want you to study the Word of God with us, and to worship the Lord with us tonight as we sing these songs of praise and approach His throne in prayer and study from His Word tonight. Tonight we're going to study just a little bit in John chapter 6, and it's regarding all to be taught of God. Now Jesus, as He's teaching there in this passage, quoted the Scripture from the Old Testament. If you will turn your New Testament to John chapter 6, and we'll begin reading with verse 44. The Scriptures will be on the screen that we're going to read, but we encourage you to open your books and read it as we go along. Excuse me, I've got a little cough left tonight. In John 6, verse 44, it says, "No man can come unto me, or come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught, or be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Now, Jesus is teaching here that those that have learned of him, and or have been taught of him and learned, will come to the Father. He said, you haven't seen the Father, but the Father is calling you, that is through Jesus and His Word, or His teaching. And so Jesus quotes the Scripture here from Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13, the prophet wrote, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." Now this is a prophecy of the peace that comes through obedience to Jesus Christ. That comes when you obey the Lord and you are a part of His family, you have peace, you're reconciled with God. You're not an enemy of God anymore through Jesus Christ and His blood. And so all shall be taught of God. And Jesus was teaching these Jews here that day, as it is written, all shall be taught of God. And so it shows us the importance of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, people teach and people say in their wisdom that they have in the world that two things you don't talk about are religion and politics. And we find today that a lot of people talk about politics. Sometimes we refuse to talk about our religion, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And after all of the politics are gone, and after all of the government of the world are gone, there'll be Jesus. And He'll still be here. He'll still be in existence, and His Word will still exist. And so it shows us the importance of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what saves us. Obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now then, notice here, except the Father draw him. Jesus said that when people are taught and learned, and the Father draws them to Him. And so it tells us here some things we need to know tonight. First, the Father calls us to Him by the teaching. You know, we're not called to the Father by visions. We're not called to the Father by voices in our head. We're not called to the Father by things that we see out in the world. We're called to the Father by teaching of the Word of God. That's how we're called to the Father. And the second part of that is learning. You know, we try to teach people all the time. We tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's the second part of this whole teaching, or this whole principle, and that is that they have to be willing to learn. They've got to be willing to accept that, and to open their heart and study what the Word of God says, and then believe that teaching. We're not saved or called by personal appearances of God. God is not going to come down here, or the Father is not going to come to you in the wee hours of the night and tell you something that is different than what He's written in the Word of God already. He's not going to appear to you in a vision and tell you something that will save you eternally. I have people tell me from time to time, "Well, I was out plowing one day, and this particular man was riding a tractor, and he was plowing fields." And he said, you know, I got to looking at nature and thinking about God, and God spoke to me, and I knew at that moment I was saved. Well, how do we know whether he was or wasn't? Well, Jesus says that we have to be taught. We have to learn. And then through the gospel, we're obedient to his gospel. God's not going to come to you in visions or angels or visions or feelings, but by the words of Jesus Christ and his teachings are we going to be called and saved. Now then, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, we want to notice the passage of Scripture here. It says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. I want to stop right there. This is what the Lord expects of you as a child of God. If you're a Christian tonight, if you're a member of the Lord's body, this is what the Lord expects, that his laws are in your mind and in your heart, and you're going to live those laws. You know, under the Old Covenant, there were a lot of laws. When I mean Old Covenant, I mean the law of Moses. The law that was written on tables of stone. The law that was given to the children of Israel. And they had this list of laws and that they were to live by, and certainly it was a commandment of God to live by them. But they didn't put it in their heart. They didn't put it in their mind. They didn't live the law of God. Now God expects of his people, his children today, that we not only just read the Bible and say, okay, that's what the Bible says, and then not live it. You see, God says, my people don't put it in their mind. They're going to put it in their hearts. And as they wake up in the morning, they're going to live the way Jesus Christ wants them to live. I want my laws in their minds and in their hearts. And when they live from day to day, they live the law of Jesus Christ. Now let's continue reading in verse 11. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, O the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Now, what's interesting about this particular verse of Scripture, I had a man tell me one time, well, this verse of Scripture teaches us that we don't have to go out and preach the gospel. Because it says that they'll not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Well, when you take this verse in context, the context is that all the children of God are not going to have to be taught who the Lord is. They're going to know who the Lord is. You see, today you cannot be a child of God without knowing who the Lord is. There was a time that you could be a child of God and not know about God. And it was in that old covenant, the first covenant, the covenant of Moses. You see, the children of Israel were under a covenant relationship with God. And if you were born as a child of Israel or one of the descendants, you were born in that covenant relationship already. Just physically being born into the world, you were in a covenant relationship with God. Now, then at some point, you had to know who God was. And so as you grew older, as you got to an age where you could know and learn, you were taught who God was. But today, it's not like that. In the Lord's body, it's not like that. In the Lord's kingdom, it's not like that. In the Lord's kingdom, in order to be a child of God, you have to know who the Lord is. You have to be obedient to the Lord. You have to hear his word and follow his teachings to know or to be a child of God. That's the second covenant, the covenant that we're under with Jesus Christ and his blood. You're not a child of God until you know the Lord, until you've heard his teachings, until you've been obedient to him. Then you're a child of God. You know who he is already. One cannot be a Christian unless they're taught. And that's why it's so important that we teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Jesus went to heaven and ascended to heaven, he left the Great Commission. We'll talk about that in a moment. But his Great Commission were his last words that he gave to his disciples, that they were going to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very important. Because you can't be saved without it. You can't be a child of God without it. The prophet Isaiah prophesied of old of this new time. This new time when the children of God would go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Now this was a prophecy of the time when Jesus would send his gospel to the world. He says, many people will go and say, Come ye. We'll go and say, Come ye. You know, this week we've gone to a lot of places. We visited a lot of people this week. And we said, Come. Come to the Lord. Come to the house of the God of Jacob. Come to the mountain of the Lord. Come to the church. And hear his words and his teachings. And know the Lord. You see, people are not born knowing God's plan for salvation. I think sometimes we believe that. We don't talk to people about the Lord. We don't tell them about the gospel. We just expect them one day, well, they ought to know. Ought to know the gospel. They ought to know how to be saved. People aren't born knowing how to be saved. Notice what Paul said in Romans 10, verse 14. "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." This gospel of peace, that's what Isaiah prophesied about. Remember that it is written, "They shall all be called God, and the children, great will be the children's peace." The children of God will have peace. They'll be reconciled with God. Now then, that's what the gospel of glad tidings does for us. When we commit sin, we are separated from God. We live under wrath, the wrath of God. We are deserving of His punishment. But through the gospel and being reconciled back to God through our obedience to Him and being washed in His blood through baptism, we can have peace. We can be reconciled. But how do people know to do that? If they haven't ever heard. If they've never heard, He said, you can't. People won't do that if they've never heard. They can't believe in Jesus if they've never heard about Him. They can't obey the gospel if they've never heard about Him. We get nervous about the gospel of Jesus Christ and telling others about Him. But we need to tell the salvation of the Lord through Jesus Christ. Not only because that's salvation, you know, but Jesus commanded us to do that. He said, go and teach. Notice in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." The last words of Jesus to his disciples was to go and teach the gospel. Go and tell people of this salvation and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then to teach them all the commandments that I've commanded you. That's the words of God. That's why we study the Bible, because of the teachings of Jesus we need to learn. Once we obey the gospel, that doesn't mean we know them all. We have to continue to study and to learn and to grow in the Lord. But He said we're to go and teach the gospel to all nations. I believe the Lord realizes that man is capable of reasoning and listening and understanding. You know, sometimes we think people just don't have a little sense. That they just can't comprehend what's right and wrong sometimes. But Jesus expected them to learn. He expected them to have the ability to reason and follow instructions in learning. That's why He gave the Great Commission. In Mark 16, in Mark's version of that Great Commission, He said unto them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall damn." You go preach this gospel that Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day. And that when we obey a form of that doctrine in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, He said you obey from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. A form is a likeness thereof. Well, how do we do that? Well, we repent. We die of our sin. We turn away from those things. And we're buried in water. The baptism. And we arise to walk in newness of life. That's a form of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. And when we obey from the heart that form of doctrine, then we become a servant of righteousness. We become a servant of righteousness. And Jesus said every preacher has the ability to do that. You preach that to the people. And then they will respond in one way or another. They'll either accept it, and they'll obey it, or they'll reject it. Be lost. But we find today that there are some that won't listen. You know, they have the ability to reason and to think for themselves, but they won't listen. They're not going to listen. In John 5, verse 39, Jesus had the same problem. Listen to what he says, "And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not. The scripture, or search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me, that you might have life." You know, those Jews didn't want to listen to Jesus. They said, "We're not going to see you." Jesus said, "The Father in heaven testified or gave a witness of me." And the Father in heaven gave a witness of Jesus. "This is my Son." The scriptures that God gave testified that Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus told them, "Well, you need to go back and read them. Search them, because they testify of me." God didn't come down in person and tell you these things, but he left a witness. He left something to witness. What were they? The scriptures. Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for they are they which you testify of me." But because they wouldn't listen to the scriptures, they wouldn't come to Jesus. They wouldn't believe that he was the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 13, the disciples asked Jesus a question about why he taught in parables. You know, we read in the Bible all the parables of Jesus, and we get these teachings from the parables of Jesus Christ. Well, there was a reason that he taught or spoke in parables to the Jews. Let's begin reading verse 13. "Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. Seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Now, the disciples just couldn't understand why he spoke to the Jews in parables. "Lord, why don't you just talk to them straight like you do us?" And he said, "Because your ears are willing to listen." You know, when someone's willing to listen, you talk to them. You can tell them what your thoughts are, what your worries, and they'll listen, and they'll cycle it and comprehend it because of their understanding. But the Jews, they didn't want to hear. Their heart was waxed gross. It was just seared over. They just refused to listen. So what did the parables have to do with it? Well, sometimes you can talk to someone in a way that they'll refuse to listen, but yet they still hear. You know, these Jews didn't want to hear. Jesus knew they were listening. So he told them a parable. Have you ever talked to a child, and you tell a child what they're to do or what they're to understand, and they throw a fit? "I just don't want to do that. I'm not going to. I'm not going to listen to this." So you tell them a story that's got the teaching in the story. Well, they listen to that story, don't they? And they're going to get that teaching, even though they don't want to hear it. They're going to understand it.
And Jesus would tell these parables to people, or to these Jews. They would tell them about the fig tree, and they're going, okay, the fig tree, what's that got to do with religion? And he'll talk about how the fig tree is to produce figs, and you know, if you had a fig tree and it didn't produce figs, you'd cut it down. And Jews go, yeah, that's right. A whole while Jesus is talking to them about their state, or their state in his presence, or in God's presence. How they were fig trees, and they weren't producing figs. You see, Jesus would tell them these parables because they didn't want to listen. They refused. Their heart wasn't going to receive. In seeing, they will not see. They could look right at Jesus, but they didn't see the Messiah. Look right at him. Talk to him, but didn't see him. Listen to his voice, but didn't hear him. And Jesus had to talk to them in a way that he could teach them, and they would listen. You know, there are some people, we talk about those that just refuse to listen. There are some people that want to know, but just need a little help, that need a little guidance in knowing the Lord's will for them. Acts chapter 8, verse 29 tells us of a man, a eunuch, that wanted to know, but needed a little help and understanding. In Acts chapter 8, verse 29, it says, Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, he was a man that was reading the Bible. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. What we know is the book of Isaiah. And he was reading this particular place, and he didn't understand it. Well, who's this talking about? And so God directed Philip to go to that chariot, and he helped the eunuch understand that it was talking about Jesus, and that Jesus would die for mankind. And that through Jesus Christ, man could have eternal life through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of people in the world today that read the Bible, but they just don't understand it. And we need to be helping them to understand the Word of the Lord. They have a want to or a desire, but just need a little guidance in doing it. They're different than those that won't listen. There are going to be some that will not hear. They don't want to hear. They don't want to listen. They don't want to see the truth. And they're not going to. Jesus had those same problems with the Jews. There are some people that want to understand, that just need a little help and guidance. And we need to be searching for those people that have a desire to know. There are some who are willing to listen. Some who want the salvation of the Lord. You know, it excites me when I talk to people and they have an understanding that their life is not right with the Lord. And they want to know what to do to make it right. And it's a blessing to talk to those kind of people that want to know, what can I do to have peace with God and peace in my mind in our relationship with the Lord. In Acts chapter 11, there was a man named Cornelius, or Acts chapter 10, whatever the story is. A man named Cornelius, and he was a devout man, but he was a Gentile. And he wanted to know what the Lord had for him. And Peter, as Peter recalls this event to the other disciples, he makes this statement in verse 13 of Acts chapter 11. And he showed us how that he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. So Peter is saying, here's what Cornelius said. When we got there, he told us how he sent for me, or Peter, and God, the angel came and said, You send for this man named Simon, or Peter, and he'll tell you all the words
where you can be saved. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things. One, there's an angel in this passage. Someone says, well, see there, angels can save us. Angels can save us, man. You know what the angel said? He said, you go call for Simon Peter, and he will tell you words. He'll tell you words whereby you might gain your house may be saved. See, he had to be taught. Just like every one of us. We have to be taught the Word of God. We have to hear the gospel. We have to learn it. We have to obey it. And it was no different with Cornelius. He was told words whereby he and his household could be saved. And Peter preached to him the gospel. Notice what Cornelius said when Peter got to the house. In Acts chapter 10, verse 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast done well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Here was a man that wanted to know the will of God. Here was a man that desired to know the words that God was going to give him that he could have salvation. Peter, tell me the words that God has commanded you so that I and my house can be saved. This is what Peter said. Verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. You know what Peter told Cornelius? He told him the gospel. He told him that Jesus died for his sins and was buried and rose again the third day. And that he needed to obey a form of that doctrine. The death, burial, and resurrection through water baptism. Notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 6. God, he made you were the servant of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin. You became a servant of righteousness. Now someone says, well, Brother Craig, I don't know about that baptism, but what does that have to do with salvation? Well, it is the form of the death, burial, and resurrection. You do not have the power to die and be buried in the ground and raised again 3 days later. You don't have that power. You cannot physically do that. But you can, by your own choice, determine the term of sin and be buried in water and rise from that water and be a person. Being then made free from sin, he became a servant of righteousness. What point does salvation come to a person? When he obeys the gospel. Being then made free from sin. You see, if we don't do that from the heart, in faith, in Jesus Christ, then we still have our sin. Or we can be religious, just like Cornelius was. He was a devout man. He prayed to God often. But he still had sin until he obeyed that form of doctrine that was delivered to him, that was commanded of him. Can we forbid water that these should not be baptized? Here was a man that wanted to obey the Lord. We are saved by the gospel, not visions, not personal experiences or feelings. You know, it intrigues me when I call people that's a lot of stuff. I talked to a young man here not long, a few days ago, a week or so ago, and he knew he was saved. I said, how do you know that? And he said, I had a feeling. I prayed to God, and I just knew he was there. I knew it was pretty. But you know what? There's never an experience like that in the Bible. There's never a teaching like that in the Bible. There's never an example of someone being saved by feeling in the Bible. The only examples of salvation are people who obeyed the Lord in the gospel. Notice in John 5:39, the last part of that verse, Jesus told them, ye have neither heard his voice at any time or seen his shape. And he was talking to them about God. God called us, or God called us to him in the relationship. But Jesus said, even though God calls you, you haven't seen his shape. You haven't heard his voice. In other words, you haven't literally heard God in a booming voice.
You know the last time that man heard God speak? In a literal sense. When the children of Israel came from Mount Sinai at the base of that mountain, God spoke. And you know what happened to those people's friends? They feared. And they said, we don't want to hear your voice anymore. We want you, Moses, to go talk to God. But we're scared. Jesus said, God's not going to come down and talk to you one-on-one. You're not going to seek his shame. But if you want to come to the Father, he's calling you. And he's calling you through the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how God's calling you this evening. In John 6, verse 46, Jesus said, not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Jesus has seen the Father. And has delivered the message to you and I that we are to obey and we can be saved. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Isn't it amazing that God calls us? He calls us into a fellowship with Jesus Christ. He wants us to be in fellowship with him, joined with Jesus Christ. And he's calling us, but not in person. You're not hearing his voice loom. But we're hearing the gospel. We're hearing the gospel. The message that Jesus left. That if we believe and are baptized, we'll be saved. But if we don't believe, we'll be damned. God's calling. And you obey the gospel tonight. As you submitted your life to Jesus Christ. And submitted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Obey the form of that doctrine. You know, Jesus was willing to die and be buried and rise again. Go through that process for you. He expects you to die too. He expects you to die spiritually. To be buried in that grave, watery grave of baptism, and become alive with him, walking in a new life. Forgiven of your sins through obedience to the gospel. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he calls us. You want to attain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? You want to be where Jesus is? You want to attain that glory to be in heaven one day? He said God's calling you. He wants you to be there. He's calling you to the gospel. Have you obeyed the gospel tonight? You see, people must be taught the gospel in order to be saved. We're not saved by visions or dreams. Angel appearances, feelings don't save people. What saves people is the gospel of Jesus Christ. When they're taught and they learn, they'll come to the Father. Those that have an open heart, those that have a desire to, those whose hearts are not waxed, gross. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, or of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So this is what Paul said here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power that God uses to save. That's the power God uses. There's no other way you can be saved than I. You can't be saved by feeling. You can't be saved by just saying the sinner's prayer. You know, that sinner's prayer is preached a lot. But it's nowhere in the Bible that you find it. You can't find it there. The teachings of Jesus never say a sinner's prayer. The teachings of Jesus say, obey the gospel. Be buried with him in baptism. Arise and walk in a new life. You can't walk in a new life unless you've been risen. Arise and walk in a new life. Paul says the power that God uses to save people is the gospel. There's no other way. If you're subject to that gospel this evening, God's calling you tonight. You've not obeyed the gospel tonight. He's calling you. He wants you to be in fellowship with him and obtain the glory of Jesus Christ in heaven eternally. It waits for you. What kind of heart do you have? Do you have one that won't listen? Or do you have one that desires to know the Lord God this evening? If you're subject to that call, come as we stand and sing. It's all, it's all.